With SDPB News, I'm John Wynn. South Dakota's Secretary of State says 9 out of 10 absentee ballots requested have reached county auditors ahead of Tuesday's general election. South Dakotans are on track to file nearly double the amount of absentee ballots filed in the 2016 presidential election. SDPB's Lee Strubinger reports.
Of the 204,000 absentee ballots, 184,000 have been filed. Secretary Steve Barnett says there's a good chance that number keeps climbing into the weekend and could reach 200,000. By comparison, 102,000 absentee ballots were cast in 2016, the last presidential election. Barnett says counting absentee ballots requires a few more steps. Election workers must match the signature on the absentee ballot request form with the manila envelope a ballot comes in on. Regular election day voting is different.
The work is done on the front end on election day. You know, the individual shows their ID, and then they go in and vote, and then those ballots get tabulated at the end of the night. Where these, they're verifying to make sure that those signatures match and that there's a copy of the photo ID attached. So there's a little more labor intensive on the absentee ballot.
Minnehaha County Auditor Bob Litz has already indicated they'll need 2 days to count absentee ballots. Given how close Election Day is, Barnett says anyone with an absentee ballot should take theirs to their local ballot drop box. He also says it's not too late to sign up as a backup poll worker.
Say a worker comes down with COVID or something a night or two before the election, it's great for county auditors to have like a really good backup list of workers. So if people are interested in doing that, they can call their county auditor.
Barnett is reminding people who plan on voting Election Day to double-check their polling location. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Lee Strubinger in Rapid City.
The South Dakota Supreme Court says current state lawmakers are not eligible for federal COVID relief dollars in the form of a state grant program. The ruling comes at the request of Governor Kristi Noem for clarification. Noem says, quote, the potential conflict of interest presented a matter of great public importance. The court says the Constitution prevents it. Republican State Senator Lee Schoenbeck says he agrees with the court, but it's a tough pill to swallow for some legislators.
I mean, you only get the funds if your business was hurt, and it has to have been hurt pretty bad. They don't qualify for that relief. I got to think that's a hard thing to explain to your spouse and your employees. And they're saying, why the heck are you doing this $12,000 a year job that's hurting our business now in more ways than we ever anticipated?
The court points to a clause in the state constitution that prohibits contracts between legislators and the state during their time holding office and a year after. The state's high court says any contract with a sitting legislator is considered illegal, void, and cannot be enforced. The Trump administration is sending hundreds of thousands of new COVID-19 tests to South Dakota to support testing in schools, nursing homes, and other areas. Assistant Secretary for Health at the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services says strategic testing is a key part of responding to the pandemic. SDPB's Jackie Hendry has more.
South Dakota is receiving 260,000 Binax Now COVID-19 tests. Admiral Brett Jouar with the Federal Department of Health and Human Services says the tests yield results in about 15 minutes.
They sort of look like a card that you open up with a little strip of paper, but there's a lot of sophisticated technology in there, including literally gold nanoparticles with many complex biologics to detect the antigens or the proteins that are associated with COVID.
Admiral Jouar says the FDA authorized these tests for use within the first 7 days of COVID-19 symptoms, but preliminary studies showed they're accurate for asymptomatic people as well.
The sensitivity compared to PCR, which is the gold standard, it's 97.2%. So compared to the best PCR, you're only missing 2.8% of the positives, which is a very small number. And if you look at the positives that are missed, those are likely to be non-infectious.
He emphasizes that adequate testing is just part of slowing the spread of the coronavirus.
If we wear a mask and we can't physically distance, if we avoid crowds, especially indoor spaces, if we wash our hands and do good hygiene, combined with this kind of smart testing, we can flatten the curve, slow the spread, and save lives.
Admiral Jawar says states will continue to receive weekly shipments. The Trump administration has a total of 150 million Binax Now tests to distribute throughout the nation. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Jackie Hendry.
There's a new project underway to protect the Great Plains grasslands. But first, the organizations behind the effort need to gain the trust of ranchers who own the land. SDPB's Seth Tupper reports.
Parts of South Dakota look much the same today as they did hundreds of years ago, with breathtaking expanses of grass, plains, buttes, and sky. The Northern Great Plains is one of only four intact grasslands in temperate climates around the world. About a fifth of the world's grasslands have been converted to crops. Pete Bauman is a natural resources and wildlife specialist for South Dakota State University Extension.
We take aerial imagery and we go through the landscape section by section, township by township, county by county, and we look at it.
That's how he knows that in just four counties in northwestern South Dakota, almost 9,000 square miles of virgin sod remain. Bauman is passionate about grasslands. He says they act like giant sponges, filtering water and preventing floods. They support communities of insects, birds, and wildlife. They store carbon in the ground where it can't trap heat in the atmosphere.
God's not making native prairie anymore, right? Like, once there's iron in the ground, it's something different than it ever has been and ever likely will be again. It is a one-way, this number doesn't go up and down. It only goes down.
Now some of the world's largest organizations want to help protect the Northern Great Plains. The World Wildlife Fund is working with three corporations, Cargill, McDonald's, and Walmart. They're putting up $6 million to improve the health of grasslands. They're focusing on parts of Montana, Nebraska, and northwest South Dakota. When ranchers hear the names of the organizations involved, well, let's just say it's a tough sell. Ray Gilbert ranches in the region the project targets. He's worried the big companies might use the project to exert greater control over the cattle industry. He sees examples in pork and poultry production, where many are already under contract to big food companies similar to Cargill. Gilbert wants cattle ranchers to stay independent.
When you get Cargill and Walmart and McDonald's all together, what is their end goal, you know? And until you can, I guess, prove to me what your end goal is, if you're just here to help rejuvenate the ground and do some good that way, fine. I think it's a good idea. But I still need to know what your end goals are.
And some ranchers are wary of the World Wildlife Fund. The nonprofit wants to help ranchers protect grasslands, but it also tells people to, quote, moderate our animal product consumption. For its part, the World Wildlife Fund says it wants to help wildlife, protect water, and store carbon. Cargill, meanwhile, has a reputation to change. Recent decisions about rainforest acreage use prompted the environmental group Mighty Earth to call Cargill the worst company in the world. But Cargill has a goal to reduce its greenhouse gas emissions by 30% in 10 years. Storing carbon in grasslands could help. It'll take cooperation from ranchers. Kevin Ellison works for the World Wildlife Fund in Montana. He aims to get cooperation in a roundabout way. Instead of creating new programs and asking ranchers to sign up, he's looking for existing groups and programs that he can help.
We're looking at working with partners, primarily those that have, you know, boots on the ground in local communities to provide technical assistance towards new practices that they can implement on their ranch. And then we would monitor the outcomes of those new practices.
Partners could be local grazing associations, or the Natural Resources Conservation Service, or Pheasants Forever. Ellison wants to work with those groups to offer training. That could include developing grazing plans. He wants to help implement the plans with cost sharing for things like fencing and livestock watering systems. One test project is already underway in northwest South Dakota. Six ranchers have created the Castle Rock Water Corporation. They're working with the Natural Resources Conservation Service to drill a well and install watering tanks for grazing livestock herds. They're also planting nearly 1,300 acres of cropland back to grass. The World Wildlife Fund is helping with money from Cargill and Burger King. Marcus Irk is one of the ranchers in the Water Corporation. He says the Wildlife Fund works as a middleman.
They're the ones that work with Cargill and Burger King, and they're the ones that, get the money, and then they in turn distribute that money to the ranchers and the landowners. And so though I'll probably never ever, you know, see or talk to anybody from Burger King or Cargill, but my relationship is really pretty good with the World Wildlife Fund.
Irk says he shares World Wildlife Fund's mission. He appreciates the environmental benefits of grasslands like carbon storage. Bringing ranchers in to help cut greenhouse gas emissions spotlights the role their livestock herds play. Research shows that cattle produce the greenhouse gas methane. The EPA says livestock contribute a quarter of agriculture's greenhouse gas emissions. And yet, scientists also know that grasslands store carbon. In the Great Plains, up to 90% of the ecosystem's organic carbon is in the soil. And in some cases, the only thing keeping that soil intact is that it's used as grazing land for cattle and not for growing crops. That's why Pete Bauman of SDSU Extension says ranchers aren't just part of the climate change solution, but a major part.
Cattle on the ranch means that the ranch exists, means that the grass is still there.
The New World Wildlife Fund project aims to improve the health of 1 million acres of grassland in the next 5 years. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Seth Tupper in Rapid City.
Those are the stories from today. Be sure to follow SDPB News on Twitter and Facebook, and check out sdpb.org to read up on all of our news and politics coverage. From the entire SDPB journalism team, I'm Josh Heyer. Thank you for listening.